Texas Absolute Rally, powered by the Kielder Works team. Cordless tools tailored for the world of motorsport.
Hello and welcome to Absolute Rally Season 15, Episode 4. It's a busy programme. There's lots of people on it. Lots of people talking sense and lots of people talking nonsense. We always keep the nonsense for the top of the programme. So at this point, I'll say hello, Ryan Champion.
Well, thank you very much for that amazing welcome. Good to be here.
We've missed you. Hello, Jack Bennion.
Hello, Tony Simpson.
And hello, Trevor Agnew.
Hello, everybody.
This is called a full house, gentlemen. This is called a full house. This is bingo. This would be full house. Boys, you were missing last week. We gave you the week off. We had some great guests on there. So I thought I'd get you back this week. And it's pre-Sweden. Now, if I would have done a little bit of homework, other than doing proper stuff, I would have done a bit of EWRC.com and seen whether Trev, for instance, had done Rally Sweden. Have you done Rally Sweden, Trev?
I have done three, four times, I think.
Mm. See, there was a method in my madness of getting Trev on. Now, before we talk about the physicalities of doing the rally, boys, I just want to say, or I want to put this to you, I was watching a preview for Sweden earlier today, and I didn't realise, and we'll do this in order, Ryan Champion, are you surprised that Jari Matti Lafoil is now the most experienced driver in the WRC ever?
Am I surprised? No, because I knew it was coming, but he's still very young, isn't he?
It makes me feel really old. It makes me feel really old, to be honest with you, more than anything.
He did just start in the championship at such a young age. But it is strange that somebody of his young years is the most experienced, like you said. But I guess that's a sign of the times, isn't it? As drivers start in the sport younger, and if we go back a few years to the WRC stars, they started at world championship level at a much later time. So we're used to seeing 17, 18, 19 year olds in WRC now, whereas it's not that long ago that was unheard of.
Jack, you're the youngest of the Hairbear bunch that we call the Absolute Rally kind of clan. For me, Jari Matti still seems 18. Now, obviously, you're nearer 18 than what I'll be forever now. Is it a surprise to you? Do you still see Jari Matti as a young gun, as it were? Or is he now, because you're a little bit younger, more experienced in your eyes?
I don't know, really. I mean, I'm not particularly surprised that Jari Matti is going to be the highest WRC starter. We've got a bigger calendar now, and we've got less people swapping in and out as well. We've got less asphalt specialists and less gravel specialists. People tend to do the full year now, don't they? So not completely surprised. He's kind of the first of that generation of people who've started really young and also been part of that generation where we've not seen so much swapping around. So I don't think it's a big surprise, really.
Trev, all things considered and all the things that we've gone through with Jari Matti is, I think, unfortunately, I don't wish this on him in any way, particular form, but he is the perennial bridesmaid. And I genuinely, in 2019, don't see him being anything, at best, more than a bridesmaid now.
Well, he's certainly in one of the best cars, and he's got two very competitive teammates, though. So if he's going to do it, he needs to crack on. And he's got the ability to win Sweden, of course. And you're right, it does make you feel old. But also, I only worked out yesterday that I did my first rally 40 years ago in about a week's time. That's old.
Wow. And Everton was black and white then, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. You had to blow the lights out in the car, yeah. Hold on.
Was that a road rally?
It was.
Yeah. Jack might have an opinion on that, because he had a very damning verdict on single venue rallies the other day.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
It's just different to rallying in a forest, isn't it?
How about closed road rallying?
I love closed road rallying.
Yeah, I know.
I love gravel rallying. I love single venues.
Okay.
And he did go to Wales and stand at the side of the road in the middle of the night, not a long ago, so he must like road rallies as well.
He did, yeah. I forgot about that.
And to the Kowendig.
Yeah, that's easy for you to say, by the way. I'm glad I didn't have to try that one. Just coming to Sweden, boys. Obviously, we've got Seb Ogier having won Monte Carlo. He's going to be effectively the snow sweeper. Trev, as you've done the rally, is it that much of a big deal being first on the road in the snow?
Oh, it can be a good thing and it can be an absolutely horrible thing. Just think back to last year where Seb Ogier is getting to the end of the stage. You can easily cope with that. But he actually closed the door at one point. He just didn't want to speak. It was horrific on the first day of last year, simply because of a big dump of snow the night before. But generally, you want to be close to the front, maybe second, third car times. Just depends if there's a loose snow on the top, then it is a big issue. But if the roads start to cut up, you don't want to be too far down either.
Jack, it's one of those rallies which I'm always fascinated by, because you know the common thing, it's like they used to take the mick out of us. Some of our lovely listeners used to play Absolute Rally Bingo, where they get certain words in. And whenever I watch previews and stuff like that, and I hear drivers talking about Sweden, there's always these words. You know, there's studs, there's snowbanks, there's this, there's that. I alluded to it on the when we did the debrief on Monte Carlo and stuff like that. It is such a unique and different event, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And, you know, it's really nice to have those unique events now, isn't it? You know, it seems like a lot of the calendar is quite samey in a way. And that's why events like Turkey, for example, that was introduced last year, was such a revelation, because, you know, attrition back in, you know, even 10 years ago, 20 years ago, wouldn't have been a big thing in the WRC. It would have been common. But now, you know, Turkey took the teams by surprise, didn't it, and caused a massive issue. And Sweden's one of those similar events where it offers a different challenge to the drivers. Obviously, we set up, you have to predict the weather conditions, like the banks and stuff like that we talked about as well. And obviously, all of the pre-event build-up is always centered on what weather we're going to get and what the teams can expect, because, you know, if there's a lot of gravel, that can usually cause a lot of problems with the studs. We get studs coming out of the tyres and grip starts to slow. So it's funny to explain to someone who doesn't know much about rallying, but the more snow you get, the more grip you've got, pretty much. So the pre-event sort of talk is always dominated by weather. But for me, I like to just wait till that first Friday morning of proper action and see what's going on then, because I find the build-up talk about the weather a bit pointless, really, because there's nothing. Then you can. There's nothing you can predict perfectly, and you just have to kind of wait till the first morning of action to see what's going on.
Just remember last year. Remember when Ogier on the power stage, the Ford team and Ogier were very creative around the rules, and they ran down the order a little bit, took some road penalties, and he ended up with 4 points in the power stage. I think it was only lap he beat him. So that was big use of a creative use of the rules that caused a bit of a storm at the time.
I forgot about that. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Let's get our snow and ice driving expert to give us some feedback. Right. Just saying before, you know, the Absolute Rally Bingo thing where people used to kind of make reference to some of the some of the comments we'd always make. I find that with Sweden leading up to it, and you know, the studs are mentioned so often and things like that. Now, you obviously work with lots of different drivers of different abilities when obviously you're with Tuttles and stuff like that. When you get highly experienced racing drivers as you've had there and stuff like that, how hard is it to get people to really commit to a studded tyre?
Well, it is very different. And the grip level is a lot higher than what people initially expect, particularly the braking. I mean, you've got incredible stopping power, assuming you've got the right spike on the right surface. The braking is probably what really surprises people, just how quickly you can stop a car on ice and the speed you can carry, the lateral grip. Yeah, it is. It's a bit of an eye opener for people, exactly what these tyres will do. And, you know, that's why Swedish Rally has always been one of the highest average speeds we see of the year.
There's been a big thing as well with regards to Pirelli running out of tyres, of course. There was the win in WRC2, Jack, wasn't it, last year, by one of the Japanese drivers, of course, you know, is going to be in a WRC car, supposedly, a bit later this year, obviously. But you guys have run a story today about Pirelli running out of these special studded tyres that were so successful for them.
That's right. It feels like it's a surprise to people every year that whoever's on Pirellis is usually good in WRC2. But I'll remove the surprise for you now. Whoever's on Pirellis in WRC2 this weekend is going to be very good. There you go. You've had an absolute rally exclusive. So basically, the Pirelli have patented the process that they use to put spikes into tyres, which is done it's done during the process of making the tyre, so that the studs are more likely to stay in the tyre, put simply. So Pirelli have got a really good snow tyre, and Takamoto Katsuta won last year in a Fiesta R5. This year we've got Katsuta again on Pirellis. We've also got Erik Pietarinen, who won WRC2 in Finland, who's rapid. Nikolai Grazan, the under 28 ERC champion, he's on Pirellis. Emil Bergqvist, the junior WRC champion from last year, and also double world rallycross champion Johan Kristoffersen is also on Pirellis as well. So those guys will be very, very quick.
Trev, the big thing that I had when I was talking to Gus Greensmith last week, and there was some footage of his, some shakedown that he was doing and some testing he was doing in Sweden. But I was talking to him with regards to WRC2, and as Jack just took us there, what's your take on someone like Mads Osberg going to do WRC2 Pro?
In what way?
You know, almost somebody taking that step down the ladder. You know, we kind of hoped that, I suppose, WRC2 Pro was going to be, you know, the showcase of, you know, the young talents in a manufacturer back car to some degree, whereas now we've got, you know, somebody who has actually been at the top level taking that step back. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I get what he's trying to do. He wants to keep his hand in, and he sees competing on world events is probably the best way to do that, and taking a step back in the car is the way to do it, keeping in with the manufacturer the same. I don't know that that's what it was intended for, but he's taking advantage of it, and yeah, I'll crack on and do that.
Yeah, I was kind of mixed with it, Jack. I don't know what your take is on this at all. You know, I'm kind of split. Gus went with, you know, we'll bring it on. It's a good benchmark and everything else. What's your take on it?
In terms of Osberg competing in WRC2, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand it. I suppose he doesn't want to keep on spending lots of money to hire a WRC car when, you know, he probably feels like at this point he's deserved enough to be in a WRC car without having to pay to do it. So, it's a difficult one, but I think anything that keeps a driver out competing at a top level is good, and we've seen that the WRC2 level in Sweden is usually very good, and you know, it's just something to keep him going, isn't it? Keep him in competition, keep him sharp for, you know, if that opportunity to drive a WRC car later in the year does come up again, then, you know, it's more chance of him being sharp and having competed against some decent drivers in the process.
No, absolutely. I'll just get your take on it right before we move on from this. WRC2 Pro, surprised or not surprised to see Mads take that step back? And, you know, do you think it's the right place for someone like him to be, or should it be the next generation? Ryan Champion?
It's hard to legislate against him being there, isn't it? I mean, where else does he go, ultimately?
Going.
If he wants to be in WRC, then you know, he's already said that he can't do it privately. He's tried to do that, and he knows just how expensive it is with his current cars. So, you know, that's the only place he can be if he wants to be in WRC.
No, okay. Happy days. Lorenzo Biatelli is back, boys, in WRC. I don't know whether the entry list shows the running order for day one, but the fact that the returning Marcus Grönholm for his 50th birthday present is behind him, I hope he's got his mirrors on. What's the crack, Trev, with running order on Sweden? Did he run it? Still run at minute intervals?
No, it'll be 2 minute intervals minimum, maybe even 3 minutes, depends on the weather as well. But it would be fairly tricky for Bertelli if he had Grönholm behind him, judging by the testing videos. But we'll not know that until everyone's through scrutineering and the start list will be set there.
Did you say, Jack? I'll ask you. Did you see the testing videos as well with Marcus? He didn't look shy, did he?
No, I've watched quite a few testing videos from Sweden, actually. I don't usually tend to bother watching too many test videos because I think it can give you a bit of a false sense of what's going on. You know, people can be trying different setups, working with different tyres and trying different diff settings and all that kind of stuff. So you can get a real variety of performances on a shakedown stage. Obviously, drivers don't tend to put up rubbish on board, so you can usually be sure that they're pushing on if they've put it on their social media channels. But yeah, Marcus looked really good. I saw Chris Meeks from a couple of weeks ago as well, which I think we talked about on last week's podcast, looked pretty impressive as well. And then there's some bits and bobs from WRC too. So a bit of Reece Yates is on board as well, and the weather looked pretty good. So hopefully the tests that they've done have been relevant.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I keep forgetting, of course, we have got, I'm going to get Reese back on the program in the not too distant future. We were hoping, by the way, folks, we were hoping to get Craig Breen, with us this week, and we have had a text conversation backwards and forwards. Trevor's just mentioned Galway had an excellent win, of course, on Galway in the Fiesta R5, and it would have been great to have him on just to obviously talk to us about Sweden as well. Obviously, it, you know, Sweden was almost, dare I say, Trev, like a turning point in a kind of a bittersweet way, I suppose, for Craig last year.
Yeah, I thought you were a bit brave inviting him on just before Sweden. Because
I was very aware. I was very, very aware. No, and I was. I was very aware of that.
Yeah, because if you watch back Sweden, you'll just see the form he was in. And he was just in love with that car and the roads and everything. And, of course, to finish second and then have the car taken away from you, it was absolutely gutting. And it's completely changed his year. He lost all that momentum that he built up and all that good feeling that he had. So I don't think he'd be the happiest bunny this weekend, thinking and just recounting all of that. But, you know, if he was in a good car in Sweden, I reckon he could still put it up to the boys. So that's what he has to remember and get himself back into something competitive very soon.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Ryan Champion, even though we are normally all appalling at this, Are we going to start taking some stabs at a top three for Sweden this coming weekend?
Well, why not? We normally do. You know, it was interesting. I was just looking back before we started recording. You know, we know that Toyota should be very strong. I mean, the best in, well, Finland stroke Estonia nowadays, but they test in these conditions regularly. We even saw them doing the Monte Carlo testing in a Scandinavian forest. So it should be home ground to them, but there wasn't one Toyota on the podium last year. So that just goes to show that not everything, you know, always goes to plan. But nonetheless, I'm going with Oyt Tanak as the winner. Just the speed is shown recently that hasn't come good, the testing form, the power of the Toyota. I'm going with a Tanak win, with Thierry Neuville second, and one of the other Toyotas third, and I'm not sure who. I mean, Latvala's been good here. He's taken four victories in Sweden. It's never been kind to Chris Meek. I think his best result is seventh. So I'm going to go with Latvala for third.
That was a very considered answer, Ryan Champion. I want to go to Jack Bengen. Are you going to be slightly more gung-ho, Jack?
Yeah, why not?
Like,
I'll go Neuville to win, Ogier second, and Latvala third.
Okay. Trevor Agnew?
Latvala to win.
Yeah.
Neuville second, and I'm going to go Meek third.
Okay, well, I'm going to go I'm probably closer to Trevor than what I am to you boys, to be honest with you. I'm going to go Jari Matti win. And I'm going to go Ogier second. I'm going to go Tanak third.
Look at that. None of us have picked Lorenzo Bertelli.
No. But you know what? I really, really want to see. I'd love Marcus Grönholm to win it. Just for dare I say shit and giggles. I just love to see Marcus win it. I know he's not, but there you go. I just think it'd be a great story. As ever. But anyway, boys, believe it or not, We're kind of running out of time already because we have got a busy program.
I don't believe that. Never.
I know. But we're nearly 25 minutes in to this momentous first section of this podcast. So I want to get to any other business because I know I'm pressed for time for most of you guys anyway. So have you got any other businesses this week, Jack Bengen?
I could pick from about six different things. So yeah, I think I could probably muster something up.
Pick your best one. Any time now, be good. All right, don't then. Don't pick your
Talk
best
about
one.
That.
You cut out then, Jack. I completely lost you.
Sorry. I was going to say me and Ryan had a little play last weekend. So, but I think I'll probably leave that to Ryan because he'll describe it a lot better than I will.
I was going to leave you to that. So, if you want to do any other business,
I think I'll go with the busy weekend that's coming up. We've got the BRC opener, which have we got anyone talking on about this?
We have. We've got Ian Campbell's on straight after this. So Ian's done a little bit of a preview for us of what's coming up and who the runners and riders are going to be this year.
Awesome. Well, I won't go into too much detail then, but obviously the Cambrian Rally is coming up this weekend on Saturday. It's got a closed road service area, so that'd be cool if you're in the Lando No area and you can go and have a look at it, see what that's like. Should be a little bit like Rally GB was last year without the actual live stage. We've also got quite a few more R5 entries, and obviously on this podcast we've talked at great length about how we think R5s are too expensive, etc., etc., but it seems like they've picked up a few entries there. And also we had Galway last weekend, which was mentioned briefly earlier, that Craig Breen managed to win, and we had 24 R5 cars starting there. So a real sort of flourish of R5s coming out in the UK and Ireland at the minute, and I think that's fantastic to see. It's obviously kind of ruins our argument a little bit that R5s are too expensive when a load more of them come out, doesn't it? But I think it's from a fan's perspective, it's amazing to see some of these drivers come out and really do battle in the same machinery. I don't think it's rallying history is a little bit lacking in that, isn't it, really? People in the same cars or very similar cars built to the, you know, properly close monitored regulations going up against each other. So I thought that was brilliant to see last weekend, and it should be brilliant to see on the Cambrian this weekend as well.
Couldn't agree more. Stages look mega, by the way. Stages look mega, having obviously we're doing the BTRDA national event, so we've been privy to getting the DVD in advance, and stages look absolutely mega.
And we've got two Chileans leading the order. How weird's that?
I know. Why wouldn't you? Of course you got two Chileans in Landud now. Why wouldn't you?
Brilliant, isn't it? Absolutely
it is.
Brilliant.
It is. Trevor Agnew, you're any other business, sir?
Yeah, apart from there being 15 R2s registered for the BTRTA, star obviously being Tony Simpson.
I didn't mention it. All right.
Twice. Okay, yeah. Doesn't matter.
That's fine.
My any other business relates back to Deja Vu Donegal this year. I'm going to go to the Deja Vu in Donegal in August, I think, and... I think Arkham Warmbull's car that he won in 1975 is going to be there, according to Motorsport News this week.
BMW
2002, yeah, only two of them built. And the good news is his son, Anthony's going to be driving it. That year in particular, 1975, they didn't have a sponsor. You'll remember this, Tony, because you're old enough. But
Phil Coulter, born in 74.
All right, maybe you would. Phil Coulter, who was a singer-songwriter from Ireland at the time, big rally man, absolutely loved Donegal Rally, and he managed to talk Radio Luxembourg into sponsoring the rally. Now, Radio Luxembourg, when I was growing up, was the radio station Tuesday night at the church show. But yeah, that green and white striped BMW is an awesome looking machine. Google it, or maybe even tweet it later. When this drops, and I'm really looking forward to seeing that and being part of all of that in August.
Should add, Trev, if Tony doesn't mind, if I add very quickly, that that event's organised by B.E. Crawford, and he's a fantastic job of these Deja Vu events. So we've had the Ulster Deja Vu and some other events where it's obviously non-competitive. The guys just drive some of the stages that they would have done back in the day, but they've had some amazing people out, Jimmy McRae and Walter Rawl. Paul Nagel did it recently as well in different events. So there's some proper names come out for that. And I think it's a really good job by the organising team that they commit to that and sort of back it every year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'll be going over in a Porsche 914 all the well. It'd be nice to take that out.
There you go. Ryan Champion, you're any other business, apart from what you got up to doing big skids in Blighton, obviously, you can tell us all about that as well.
Well, I'm going to start with two quiz questions. The first one, who is the most successful driver ever on Rally Sweden?
It was...
to anybody.
Stig Blomqvist.
It was Stig Blomqvist. How many times did he win it, Trevor?
Seven.
Seven times. When was his first win?
Oh, God.
It was in a Saab. It was back-to-back in a Saab.
I'd go
71. Very well done, Trevor. And who was the first non-Scandinavian to win and when?
Carlos Sainz.
Yeah.
I can offer it.
No,
listen, quizzes are not our strong point. Remember what happened in the last year? Can we just crack on?
Was it Loeb?
This is interesting.
Have to be Loeb.
It was Loeb. It was Sebastian Loeb.
2004.
It wasn't won by a non-Scandinavian until 2004.
Sweet.
I think that's it.
There you go.
I think that's an interesting
question. I approve of Loeb quiz questions.
Right.
I thought you might. Tony clearly doesn't.
No.
Anyway, Jack Lennie and I did the first round of the Boom Cup at the weekend. We had lots of fun, did big skids, great championship, great social scene. Hopefully that will go on to big things. And the final one I want to mention, and again, it features in Motorsport News this week, is big plans for Rally Day at Castle Coombe this year. Rally Day, really keen to reinvigorate the event and inject a little bit of freshness to it. So I was involved in building a new stage for Rally Day that will incorporate some of the paddock area and bring a bit more excitement to the event. There'll be a live stage which everybody can see, get close up to the cars, and a nice feature on that by David Evans and Emma Murphy.
This is Absolute Rally. Whether it's the pressures of service or an issue out on the stages, it's vital to have the right equipment to hand. Kielder cordless tools are tailored for the world of motorsport and are being used throughout all forms of competition. Go back to the future with the Kielder Works team.
Welcome back to the next section of Absolute Rally after the nonsense at the top of the programme with Jack Bennion, Ryan Champion, myself and others. I thought I'd get a little bit of sense, a little bit of clarity of the forthcoming opening round of the, I know they called it the MSA. It's not, it's UK Motorsport.
No, it's not.
It's Motorsport, it's Motorsport UK. Sorry. Yeah. I got your company the wrong way round. Ian Campbell, BRC manager. Welcome back to Absolute Rally.
Good day. I haven't spoken to you for a while.
It's been too long. It's your opening round. And I haven't had a couple of false starts over the last couple of years. It's actually quite nice to be talking 3 days before the event that you've got a very, very strong top entry, and the rally looks mega.
The rally does look good. I was just speaking to Alan Edwards earlier on, and he was saying the stages are all set up, ready to go, and looking very, very good as well. So I know the guys in the car club have been busy, so can't wait to get back in to get a look at them. Because the last time I saw these stages when we used them for Rally GB, and I know that the guys for Rally for Wales have been in there and been very busy with getting them all regraded and are ready for us to blast into them on Saturday.
I can't. Obviously, I'm doing the national events on the back of it. So I have been looking at the DVDs and looking at the stages and stuff. And the stages, as you say, look absolutely mega. Cambrian, from my personal point of view, wasn't a great event last year from a stage quality point of view. But it's like night and day. Looking at the quality of the stages, you have got a treat. You genuinely have. And the guys going into those very same stages that we stop at kind of 4 or 5 o'clock, and then they go into the night stages, which just adds something, you know, something which I think we're missing too much of these days.
Yeah, we haven't seen some night stages for a while. I think the last time we did Forest night stages, well, I was going to say, was in 2016 at Mid Wales,
yeah.
We did have some in the Scottish in 17. When Lockerbie just about got washed away and flooded, but, there were some night stages that year. But it is always good to do that. But it's also when it's coming at the end of a long day. I mean, the first car's away at 8 o'clock in the morning and not coming back to finish to 8 o'clock at night. It's a full 12-hour shift for these guys. And if it is getting a bit tight for tenths of seconds going into the last loop, who knows what difference the night will what different elements the night will put into that.
Well, you're reigning champions back. We weren't entirely sure at the end of last season where Matt would go. I'm sure he had aspirations to go and do WRC2, and I'm sure that's still probably on his radar. But he's back. He's back to defend his title, and he's got a new rival as well for this year. Tom Cave announcement, of course, with High and Dye Motorsport support coming back to the championship in a car which he seems to get on well with.
He does. I mean, Tom set really, really strong times in these stages at Rally GB. So it's good to see him coming back. I think he's in Sweetlam tomorrow doing some testing in there. But then you've got Bogey, and Bogey very much took it to Matt back in October on these same stages. So that'll be an interesting one. So I think that's an easy three to turn around and go, that's where the real battle will come from. But then you've got Marty McCormack, who's already started his season with a win on the Irish Forest Championship. Josh Moffat, you can't discount at all, just to see how he's getting on. And then, Desi Henry and Johnny Greer are always battling on there. And they're going to be good seat time as well, because they've just done the Galway rally. So I suppose it takes how long it will be for them to get from asphalt to gravel. But they're very much going to be, you know, to the fore from that perspective as well.
One thing the championship has been very strong about, of course, has been juniors as well. And how's the juniors looking for this year?
Juniors, if we look, we've got 13 juniors starting on Saturday, which is great. We've got, excuse me, really strong guys coming back, and that we've got William Crichton, who was really quick in 2017, and then just didn't have the smoothest of years last year. James Williams was very, very strong. Josh McLaren in the I don't know if I'll see the weekend. Josh did really, really well in the Fiesta in Ulster last year. He's now in the Peugeot 208. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes. Marty Gallagher's won a round before. James Wilson came in last year just to give it, I'm here just to learn and to see how I get on. And then all of a sudden was scoring podiums. So he's a bit of a dark horse, and he's got the Billy Coleman Award behind him as well. So that will help him. We've got the support of Peugeot UK and Total, and with M Sport and with Pirelli. There is a value of just under £90,000 worth of prizes for the juniors this year. So they've got a lot to go for, a lot to aim for.
Good effort. Good effort, mate. I'll be honest with you. I always speak on. I was concerned of where you were going to end up with the juniors. Obviously, this year you're running unliveried. Well, I call it unliveried. When we haven't got anybody behind us, I call this podcast unliveried. We're very privileged to be liveried at the moment. But you're having your third year is unliveried, and to have such support from M Sport and, as you say, from Peugeot and from Total, it just lends its weight really, really nicely, doesn't it, to the juniors?
It does, yeah. And these guys are the ones that we can see that they're the ones that are aspiring to get a career out of rallying. And it's really encouraging when you speak to the guys in the World Rally Championship. You say that they know when the competitors are coming from the Junior British Rally Championship. They've had their apprenticeship. The stages that we have over here give them a feel for everything that they're going to experience in the World Rally Championship, and they know they're going to be competitive. They know they're going to be strong. So that's a great boost for the championship. And also, like I say, having Matt back and Tom and David and Marty and these guys means that the sharp end is going to be very, very quick as well. And then we've got these two Chile guys that have come in as a one off in the Cambrian. And it's going to be interesting to see just how they adapt. I mean, they know the stages, have been here before, and just see where we all come out of the first and second stages in the mix. And of course, we've got a late entry in from Marion Evans as well. He's got his Hyundai getting reprepped from the asphalt to gravel as well. And we haven't seen Marion on gravel in the R5, so just don't know where he's going to sit into it. So it'll be an interesting day.
I think obviously there's been a massive leveler as well over the last probably 3-4 years. Obviously everybody's been on different rubber as well. I know Tom's come back with Michelin. Obviously Matt is gone Pirelli. David Bogie's now on Pirelli as well. So there's a little bit more of a level playing field perhaps as well in the tyre wars battle.
There is. I mean, we've got Kumo are in the mix there as well. And DMAC are looking to come and join the championship. So we've still got the four tyre manufacturers, but DMAC had it in 16, 17, and then Pirelli won last year in 18. So it's one that it's amazing actually the competition between the tyre companies, and when you see their representatives walking around the service park, they are as much trying to get a tenth out of a second out of everything else as the guys are sitting in the rally car.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I can't wait. As I say, the stages look mega. Obviously, we're privileged enough we're going to be tagging along on the back of it. But, again, as an opener, I wasn't too sure where the Cambrian was going to go with it. They've got, the main high street is the service area. Flavours, I suppose, of, dare I say, Ypres. I think it's a very refreshing thing to see what they're trying to do.
It's great to have such an ambitious club that's wanting to go and make an impact, and with great support from the Comey Council, Borough Council, that just want to close off Mostyn Street and close off the centre of the town and have everybody servicing in there. So that, you know, that's great, because you can't bring rallying any closer to the people than they are going to do on Saturday. To have 136 competitors, I think it is, with the BTRDA, the Welsh and the British Championships all together, is going to make it a bit of a festival as well on Saturday. So the whole thing is very different. It's the first time we've been to the Cambrian. It's all of a sudden you realise that February is very early in the year compared to starting at the end of March and such like. But as always, everybody's scraping to get their deals together at the end so that when we do turn up, that's where we are. But I think to close off the town centre is just fantastic, and we should be encouraging that more in more places.
Most definitely. Before I let you go, Ian, I'm gonna put it to you. Where do you see the champions going this year? Come on.
Ooh, come the end of the year, who's going to be taking home the silverware? Well, I have already said that I see William Crichton taking the junior.
Right. Okay.
But I said that last year as well, which is probably unfair on him. But I think William will be the man for that. And who's going to win it overall? That's a difficult one. Really, really don't know is the honest answer on that one. Tom's deserving of coming away with a championship for the years that he's come so close to it, and his pace is there. Matt had such a calculated win last year in all the rounds and was so balanced. And then Bogey's just never started his years off in the best of form and always come strong. So I think I might get splinters from sitting on the fence on that one.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, I won't hold you to it, but we'll catch up after this one, okay? Enjoy your weekend as BRC boss for the opening round of the 2019 BRC. I personally can't wait to see how it's going to go. Ian Campbell, enjoy your weekend. We'll catch up soon.
I will do, and I look forward to seeing you at the start ramp on Saturday.
Good man, good man. Folks, we'll be back after this break with Brendan Reeves.
This is Absolute Rally.
Absolute Rally continues to be partnered by the Kielder Works team, who remain fully committed to the sport and are pioneers of the latest technology. Kielder cordless tools are tailored for all forms of competitive action.
Go back to the future with the Kielder Works team.
Welcome back to the next section of Absolute Rally. We do like to travel the world, and as I say, we have got friends of the show all over the world, and one that we've not had on, I can't even figure out where I should have probably checked this out. But anyway, Brendan Reeves, welcome back to Absolute Rally.
Thanks, Teddy.
When was the last time you were on, mate?
Oh, I think we were talking about Gravel Crew Nights, maybe not last year, but the year before.
It can't be that long ago, surely. No.
I think it is.
That's shocking.
And probably comment quite a lot, but I'm never on live.
Oh, mate, I'm sorry. I owe you an apology. Anyway. Now, to be fair, you've been quiet on the news front, which is unlike you. I think 18 was quite a quiet year. You were doing quite a lot with stuff with road cars and high-end ice, stuff like that. But you've got news. You've got news to share with us. So that was a really good reason to get you on. So tell us a little bit about what's coming up for you.
Yeah, exactly. It was pretty quiet last year. We've been working a lot this year. I've done a summer tarmac rally sprint series with Hyundai and the i30N. So I've still got two rounds of that to go. So that's been a hell of a lot of fun. In 2 weeks' time, the 23rd and 24th of Feb, I'm doing something that's really cool. It's a Mount Baw tarmac rally sprint. But I'm the tour leader for Drive Against Depression. So it's a really cool organization that only started in 2017. And basically, it's about bringing awareness of depression and anxiety to the forefront, but doing it through cars and enjoyment. And, you know, people love working on their cars in the shed, but this is about bringing your road car out, enjoying yourself with mates, and getting to do tarmac rally roads, but don't go over 130 k's an hour, so you can do it in your road car. That'll be so much fun, you know, and just really kick off the year for me.
Brilliant. And then I was just going to say before we move on, I just think that's just such a, I've not heard of anything like that before. And, you know, mental health has become such a big, news across the world over the last probably 2 or 3 years. I think people have become aware of it. So, you know, to be at the forefront of something like that must be a hell of an honour, really.
Yeah, I think it's really important. You know, you talk with a lot of people, and sometimes you can see something's troubling someone behind their mind, and Are You OK come out here in Australia has been a really popular thing, where you have an Are You OK day, you just ask your mate, hey, going, make sure that even if they don't want to tell you what's wrong, that you recognise that they're struggling with something, and they don't have to talk about the particular issue, but as long as you can just be there for them. Drive Against Depression, it's about people coming together to talk about cars and the weekend and enjoying experiences, and then hopefully by doing that, they can also highlight the issues they're having in their life, and Drive Against Depression can put them in contact with the professionals to talk about it, but also just, you know, making the awareness and making people not scared to talk about it. And if they're around people that are having the same kind of issues,
like-minded people, you know, it just puts people in the same environment who can just all of a sudden they may be able to recognize something that they're going through. I think it's just such a great thing to be part of.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the tarmac rallying in Australia is quite popular, and people can bring their Porsche along or their Datsun 1600 or their i30N and just enjoy the weekend, and we'll have a great dinner on the Saturday night, and we'll just talk about fun things that we've done over the years and really enjoy the weekend. I think it'll be low-key, but really highlight the depression side of it and just try and bring that to the forefront, and then also show people that it's okay to talk about it, you know, and we can hopefully shine some light on these people, and then also show them what I've done in rallying and how that really keeps me motivated and excited in life, and how you link that to business as well, and keep that happy medium between work, life, and then also fun on weekends. And we do that through rallying.
Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant. Well, as I say, if there's any links or whatever you want us to share on that, please do ping them across, mate, and we will share them. But you've just mentioned rally. You are actually back in a rally car as well.
Yeah, exactly. So we've been working really hard to get back into a proper rally car this year. And as you know, last couple of years I've done some rallies in New Zealand, but a massive bucket list rally for me has been the Otago rally. And this year we're just stoked to be able to do that rally. We're teamed up with Stokes Motorsport, and we're going to be driving a Ford Fiesta AP4 Plus. So previously in the New Zealand Championship, I've driven a Mazda 2 AP4. Now, some people may get confused, what's the Plus mean? All it means is I'm allowed a bigger engine. So I've got a 1.8-litre turbo this time, Duratec, but it means I carry 70 more kilos of weight. So instead of 1230 with the 1.6, it's 1300 kilos. So it's just a way of building a higher performance engine, but then the weight hopefully counteracts that. So that should work really well. And Rhiannon and my sister is going to come back co-drive for me. So that'll be awesome. And we've got a really good sponsor, Lock and Load Transport, on board that's made it all possible.
Brilliant, brilliant. Can I ask you, because we're fascinated, we've gone back and forward over kind of regulations and stuff over here. You know, we all know R5 is a fantastic category, but, you know, in some parts of the world, you know, especially Australia, New Zealand, okay, there's the Skodas in Australia at the moment, but that's kind of more by default of the fact that they're not running APRC anymore, and Race Talk have rented them out into the series. But you just mentioned there, obviously, the difference between Plus, which was great. Thanks for breaking that down for us. But that extra 70 kilos, how does that – I have you tested the car yet? Have you had any runs in the car yet?
Not yet, but I did have the chance to drive Andrew Hawkswood's 1.8-litre turbo Mazda when I was driving the 1.6-litre turbo. So basically they were the same chassis and cross members that this Ford Fiesta will have, and similar engines, because the Duratec was in the Mazda and the Duratec will be built by the same team and put in the Fiesta. So I know the differences in the cars without driving the car that the Stokes Motorsport team's building.
How different is it then? Is the clarity across the board, you know, has that extra 70 kilos, has it made a difference? Or is it actually better to maybe have the lighter car? And I'm just interested in this. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, it is fascinating, and that's why I've really chosen to go the 1.8, because they developed the 1.6, but, you know, it seems to take a big budget and a lot of development to get a 1.6-litre engine in today's day and age to perform very strong and reliable. And the 1.8, it seems that you can make the torque and make the horsepower much easier. So basically we've gone down that option to try and get torque, which turns into traction instead of just wheel spin. You can use a lower down revs in the car, up change gears nice and early. And as you know, New Zealand's quite fast and flowing roads, really cresty. So hopefully the torque and the performance of the engine helps us quite a lot. And I don't think that 1,300 kilos is that big a disadvantage, because look, to keep your car at 1,230 is sometimes quite difficult, and you throw a few extra things in and your car ends up being 1,250 kilos in no time. So I think the performance should outweigh the weight of the car there, hopefully, and the engine should be nice and reliable. And we've got a Motec M1 now in the car this year, so the car was actually tested today on a tarmac circuit, running through the flat shifting tuning, and the guys were saying it's just so smooth with the M1 Motec. They've been able to really fine-tune it, and that was something that we really missed out on last year, was the ECU in the car. The team didn't quite understand it as well, so we think with the Motec on board, it'll be a much stronger package.
Fair play, fair play. Now, there's a little bit of competition, of course, in this event as well for you.
Absolutely. There always is in New Zealand.
So your old mate, Hayden's out.
Yep.
You've gone toe-to-toe with Hayden before, haven't you? Of course you have.
I have, yeah. And we have a great time doing it. You know, it's that Australia versus Kiwi battle that goes on, and Hayden's, you know, such a high level of driver, so all you can do is use him as the benchmark and hope that you can get as close as possible to him. I've never done Otago before. It's just been a big bucket list rally for me, so I'm going to be squeezing as much information out of Hayden as I can, because I've seen him drive an Escort Mark II on roads. You look up on YouTube, Curry Bush stage with Hayden Padden in an Escort, and it's mind-blowing how quick he goes in that stage and how he links the corners, so I'll be watching that plenty of times on YouTube. But there's also Ben Hunt in the Subaru, and Matt Sommerfield hasn't said what he's driving this year yet, but you know, there's some great drivers over in New Zealand, even Emma Gilmore. She's got her Suzuki Swift going again, and there's some new AP4s coming along. Dylan Turner will be in his Audi. You know, there's some really good competition, and we should just have a great time, I think, to do such an amazing rally. It's like people having Finland as their bucket list. Otago is that for me.
Brilliant. Is it a rally that you're allowed to recce? Are you going to be able to go out and write notes for this one, mate?
Yeah, that's one of the coolest things this year. They've actually changed it to two-pass recce. So that'll really help me with not having done the rally before. And the strong point of this rally is that it's got such a big classic influence on the event. So they've got Frank Kelly coming over from Ireland, and Mads Osberg's coming over as well to drive an Escort. So there's a huge range of drivers in the event, and the expressions of interest got over 130, I think, in the first week. So they've opened the entries already, and they're going to have to close them at, I think, 135, they said, just because they're worried they're going to get too many people in the event. So that's a cool problem to have.
Wow. Wow, that's brilliant. So when do we start testing, mate? When are you going to get to go and play in the new machine?
So we're going to have a test program in March. So that's really exciting. So we're just working on getting a test road in the South Island, because New Zealand's divided into two islands. I've done plenty of rallies in the North Island, but only one rally in the South Island. So we want to test on similar roads to what the rally will use, to try and get the car set up on that. So it's got MCA suspension, so we want to test on that, set it up. The car's had a lot of diff work done to it lately. And then also my sponsor, Lock and Load Transport, they're going to have their Mark II Escort over at the event as well. So I might be able to help Phil set it up a bit, and Alex Gelsomino is also co-driving for him. So it's going to be a pretty big team we're taking over.
Fair play, fair play. Listen, Brendan, I'm so pleased, mate. I'm so pleased that you're back in a rally car, and I hope it does bring some more events for you so you can go and play against your mate, basically. I think it's a great story to be told. No, it's great. It's great to get that enthusiasm as well. It's great to get that enthusiasm. After all the events you've done, you are like a kid in a toy shop at the moment waiting to do this event in this car. So listen, we'll catch you up with your mate after the event. You can tell us all about it.
Sounds great.
Good man. And we'll share all the links, obviously, for Drive Against Depression as well. So we'll get those out as well. Brendan, have a great run, mate. We will speak to you after the event. And folks, we'll be back after this break.
This is Absolute Rally. Ireland's leading commercial note supplier, Killian Duffy, has joined forces with 2016 British Rally champion Craig Parry to form On The Pace Note UK. For more information, visit the website onthepacenote.co.uk.
Welcome back to the next section of Absolute Rally. We try to mix things up. We try to do things differently. We try to bring different stories as well as just kind of news reports and opinions and everything else. So we thought it was a really good time to get a former friend of the show. And I call him a former friend because it just seems like ages since he's been on. But Alex Karani, welcome back to Absolute Rally.
Thank you. Thank you. I think last time I was on was after I was buried in snow, my last snow rally.
hopefully that's not some kind of omen for this coming weekend, which would have come to that. Well, that's when you were sat with Crazy Leo. So to be fair, you rolled the dice on that one. You rolled the dice on that one, to be fairness to Leo. But there you go. But things have changed. You've gone from possibly one of the quietest programs for a co-driver to possibly one of the busiest programs I think I've seen a co-driver undertake for 2019. So we've got ERC with Santaloc, who are a very, very great team who've been involved in ERC and IRC and extra for many, many years now in the 208R2. And of course, the JWRC, of course, in the M Sport One Make series, in the all new, all singing, dancing, Mark 8, I believe we're allowed to call it now, Fiesta R2. Yep. Now, that's a hell of a program. Tell us a little bit about who you're doing these programs with.
It's a bit of a dream come true. I think maybe originally we were just going to do the ERC, but realized it was Sean's last year of eligibility for the Junior World Rally Championship, and he wanted to get experience in those rounds, and there's no better place to get that experience and get the competition and learning and development than the Junior WRC. So
just for our listeners, that's Sean Johnston, of course, who you sat with.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a follow on here, of course, because we had John Armstrong on last week, who was an eSports world champion, and obviously before that he was a very, very capable young man in every sense of the word. And they had a cracking result on Galway, fourth overall. Fair play, well done again, John.
Yeah.
But that's the similar background to Sean. Maybe tell our listeners a little bit about Sean's background.
Yeah. So Sean came through the GT Academy, which was sort of the first stab at taking sim racing into actual cars. So they took the best Gran Turismo 5 players in the world, put them in actual cars and did a shootout and a little reality TV show about it. And the winner got a Nissan contract. Sean finished second, so he didn't get the contract, but he was able to find his sponsor through doing that program. Went the next year and did the Porsche Cup in the US with his sponsor and won that. So then ended up coming over to Europe in 2013 and did a bunch of years in the Porsche Super Cup, which runs alongside Formula One, and the Porsche Carrera Cup in Germany. But now he decided he's going rallying. So obviously we're going rallying and doing quite a bit of it.
Fair play. It's a hell of a story. As I say, the esports thing, which, you know, I can remember playing games for forever and a day, loading them on cassettes and stuff like that. It just seems odd now that it is a very, very viable way into our sport that we all know and love.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even I grew up on the simulators as well, but I think by the time I started co-driving was when maybe it became a bit more of an acceptable to demonstrate ability. So it's really cool to see him come through that way. And obviously, it's how realistic the simulators are now. It's a great way to actually see who has talent without spending so much money.
Absolutely. Now, you've been in JWRC before, I seem to remember. I'm trying to think how long ago. Was it 6 years ago?
It was 7 years ago. The tech thought it was the JWRC coordinator thought it was in 2015. I was like, no, it's 2012.
Wow.
It was 7 years ago. We're all getting a bit old. It's good to be back. I didn't think it would quite be 7 years after I did Rally Finland with Christy Pesci in the WSC Academy, but I'm really happy with what I'm going to do this year anyway.
Has the sport changed that much? For obviously, I know you're UK based now, but I know obviously Sean obviously moved over to Germany. What's the perception these days over in the States of rally? Obviously, we know what Ken's done, and we know obviously David's just dominated, and obviously Travis has come back. But has it changed the perception?
Yeah, it's actually a little bit difficult for me to tell because I've been in the UK over 5 years now, so maybe I'm almost feeling a little bit disconnected. I know it's there's desire for coming over to Europe if you're really serious about rallying. Although to a certain extent, there's not so many people that are competing in the US and going to Europe now, so it sort of feels like it's separate, or it's just sort of a different discipline. I hope it becomes more connected again, and there's more American drivers coming through the pipeline. Obviously, Sean's a great driver from America coming through the pipeline, but his path is very, very different.
And obviously, he's also spent so much time racing as well, which, we're always a little bit skeptical when we get roundy boys who come to rally.
Yeah.
You've obviously sat with Sean last year, and the big thing that the rally race guys, and I experienced this when I was presenting Rallycross, and I used to talk to the Rallycross drivers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They found it really disconcerting having somebody sat next to them basically telling them what to do. How was that for Sean year one? How was he tuning in and even, making pace notes, of course?
Yeah, actually, what's been most impressive about Sean and most surprising is that he likes a lot of detail in his pace notes. He came to rally because he wanted to have someone else in the car and be working with the co-driver, and his ability to comprehend information is pretty astounding. So his pace notes are extraordinarily detailed. So we're actually working on bringing that back. But some of that's just from his road racing background, technically thinking through every bit of the road and wants to be, wants to place the car, what everything is happening. And, we've developed our all of that. I think at this point now, especially when we're working with Max Boston in last weekend, was just trying to scale that back a bit for the things that, hopefully now that he's a bit more experienced, he would do anyway. But there's a lot of information coming at him. But as far as I can tell, and I try to observe quite closely, he seems to get it, and he's fully committed all the time. So that's been surprisingly good. I think probably where he struggled is just learning these surfaces and the difference in driving the car on those. The pace notes part is actually he's taken to quite quickly, which has been really good.
The other big thing, of course, as well, is hopping from one car to another. You always talk about seat time, and seat time's great, but nine times out of ten, most people are normally in the same car. That's a big undertaking as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Last year we were mostly in the Opel Cup, and then the Adamar 2, which is quite a different beast. But it seems to adapt quite quickly. If you did the test with Santorak in the Peugeot 208, and that car seemed to just fit him very well naturally on the tarmac. Didn't only one or two runs of a 5K stage, and he was feeling quite committed in it. So I think it'll be okay. The new Fiesta R2T it's a little bit different, so we'll see how it goes. But of course, we've only driven it on snow and ice so far, so there's all that to contend with.
Wow. It is a great season. How many rallies is it in total, Alex? I'm sure you've got it all carefully mapped out. But how many rallies are you doing this year, you guys?
Yeah, it's looking like between 13 and 14. So we'll see. We're a little bit skeptical as to whether or not we run Cyprus. since that's the week before the IGB, and the IGB is double points for the JWRC. But we also might want to come over and do a test ride before JWRC. So we're thinking maybe, you know, not officially, I'm not even sure I'm supposed to say this, but we might do Galloway Hills in the British Rally Championship, which would be quite cool.
Happy days, happy days.
That's a warm-up, yeah.
Well, we will get Sean on, but obviously former friend of the show and somebody who I know listens to the show, so we'll get Alex back. It seems a little bit of a no-brainer. So Sweden this coming weekend. Have you done Sweden before, Alex?
No, I have not done Sweden. Sean and I have done two gravel rallies in Sweden as a test, but no, never Sweden, and never, obviously I've done a bit of snow rallying, but never with these types of studs. So we've been in Rovaniemi in Finland with Max Watson, and Sean has been there for 5 days. He's did the 3-day BMW sort of rally driving course to learn the snow and ice driving, and then 2 days in the brand new Mark Bates RCT. So tried the best we can to learn as much as we can about the surface, the tires, and get some tips from someone who's been there and done that in the JWRC.
Absolutely, and Max has been there, seen it, done it. And I've got the proof because I now own the car that he used to use. So there you go. The R2 I own is Max Vatanen's in D-Max Drive. So there you go.
Awesome.
There you go. Listen, Alex, we will be looking out for you. You know, yes. keep Sean honest, I think, on this one. Get him through, I think, this first one. Because the competition as well is awesome, isn't it? It's an awesome competition. Yeah. You know, I don't know too much about who's registering for ERC at the moment. This isn't any disrespect to the ERC program. But obviously, we follow Tom Williams, and we had Tom on last week, and we were talking about Tom's preparations, of course. He's going into year two now. A lot of people see this as a two-year kind of plan. How do you guys see it? Is this a two-year plan for you guys?
Well, not unless they change the birth date requirement and extend it like 2 more months or so Sean could enter next year. But we're not sure. I think at the moment it's just to really get the experience on the WRC rounds and also get the experience with a lot of really good drivers in the same cars. We don't expect to be running right with them at the beginning of the season, but you know, with the level of competition, you know where the limit is. So we have a good measuring stick and can look to where we need to improve.
Absolutely. Listen, we will keep an eye out for you, Alex. And as I say, let's get you and Sean on maybe together in a month or two's time. Once your program really gets underway with ERC, and obviously you'll be a couple of events into JWRC, it'll be a good benchmark, I think, to catch up with a pair of you.
Yeah, it should be exciting. So, because next one we have is Azores for ERC, and then we go straight from one island to the other island, which is Corsica, for JWRC. So, should have some stories after that.
Boy, you are living the dream. Enjoy it, Alex. Enjoy it. It's absolutely mega. Absolutely mega. Right, Alex Karani, thank you so much for joining us. Absolute Rally. Folks, we'll be back after this break.
This is Absolute Rally.
Whether it's the pressures of service or an issue out on the stages, it's vital to have the right equipment to hand. Kielder cordless tools are tailored for the world of motorsport and are being used throughout all forms of competition.
Go back to the future with the Kielder Works team.
Welcome back to the final section of Absolute Rally. I hope you enjoyed what we've done so far. Obviously, we've just had Alex Karani on, and I posed a question to Alex about obviously competing over in the States. That's a long time ago for him now, as he alluded to, and not really having his finger on the pulse perhaps of what's going on over in the States. So I thought I'd get a man who has got his finger on the pulse in the States and friend of the show. He's been on many times before, but he always contributes. Obviously, got his own excellent podcast as well. Mike Shaw, welcome back to Absolute Rally.
Well, thank you for having me back, Tony Simpson. Love being on your show. Always listen to it every week. And exciting things going on here in North America, and especially with the American Rally Association.
Well, I was just about to say, things have kind of changed again, because the obviously there was two bodies at one point last year, and obviously ARA came in and they took on some of the events, and there was the previous regime that had some of the events, and now it's all kind of neatly all come together again with a nice bow on the top, hasn't it?
It has. You know, I think everybody is very excited to have, you know, I guess in a way, unification again of all of these events under the ARA banner. You know, if there's one good thing that came from the split, I guess you could call it, is that there's new events that ended up coming about too. So it's really kind of expanded the sport in the United States. And, you know, we're looking to see what was the year. The first year of ARA, there was 6 events, 5 in the U.S. Last year was 7 events, all in the U.S. This year, it's 9 events in the championship, but overall, now they're doing regional sanctioning. They've got 17 total events right now, potentially even more in the pipe. And literally every month from January through December this year, there's a rally going on that they're sanctioning.
Wow. How many, you know, again, we talk about, especially here in the UK, and I'll be very UK-centric for a second, we're always concerned that we have too many events. And that's why, you know, we have events competing against one another and maybe taking each other's customers. And sometimes events kind of struggle. What kind of entry numbers would you be getting for some of those regional kind of monthly events?
The regional one-day event, you know, they really do vary quite a bit. I mean, it depends on area and interest. I mean, sometimes it'll be an event that only gets, you know, 10 or 15, but then in other cases, you'll get like 30. So it really is kind of all over the map, especially a new event that's just trying to get going, or if it is too close maybe to another event, that can definitely be a challenge. One of the things that the American Rally Association really worked hard for was getting a good gap in the schedule to make sure there was limited overlap. As an example, the 9 events in the championship this year, if you look at the calendar, they're almost perfectly a month apart. This allows teams to regroup, you know, tow if they have to. Obviously, our championship probably covers a greater distance than the European Rally Championship, right? So it's huge. And it really allows that good spacing. But also, like my home event, the Oregon Trail Rally, it moved from April all the way to the end of May. Well, that was because we didn't want to have our event step on maybe another regional event in the area and things like that. So that way, you know, everything kind of works together. So both regionals and nationals can have their day in the sun.
Now, one thing that it has enabled the championship to do, obviously, the mighty force that is the Vermont Sports Car and Super USA, of course, with our own David Higgins and Craig Drew, and obviously with the rotation of teammates and stuff like those guys didn't come out on the opening round, and that kind of threw up that lottery of, well, who's going to win? And of course, Snowdrift obviously is the clue's in the name. It's a snow event. And we had some new names.
We did. And they're names we may have seen in the past a bit. But we had Barry McKenna was out there. Unfortunately, had a mechanical issue, bringing a nice little R5 car, which is fun to see. But the winner of the event, we'll talk about the fact that we had the proto car out there of Peter Fatella, and that's a great car to have in the championship. You know, again, our open four-wheel drive class is very open. It allows all these different types of cars to compete. And without Subaru there, and you know, Subaru of course would have liked to have been there, but they had already budgeted for the schedule that was released back in October. So it was a very early release for the 2019 schedule, the original release of the schedule. And then with kind of the happenings with the transition there and the expansion events happening a little later in the year, it was hard for them to suddenly transition and be able to make it to Snowdrift. But you're right, it definitely brought some of the teams that you don't really see the spotlight for end up moving to the top. And a great run by Peter Fatella and his Fatella Rally team. And, some of the other guys that are in the limited four-wheel drive class also doing very well. We've got Cameron Steele and Preston Osborne that I had on my show a week or so ago. They're great guys out of Colorado. They also do lots of builds of cars. We have third place, Travis Meese, who's one of the guys in Pacific Northwest here, who finds a way to make it to almost every event in the championship, which is always awesome. And he's smooth and consistent and ended up on the overall podium. So yeah, it was some of the names that you don't always see on the overall being able to be right up there.
Great stuff, but the Mitre Subaru will be back on the second round, which obviously 100 Acre Wood. those guys really, they can only beat themselves, can't they? And has there been any more announcements with regards to the rotation? Obviously, you know, last year we had Chris Atkinson come in. Obviously, we had Travis come in. And also, you know, a couple of others as well. I'm trying to think who else. And they were all guests on our show as well. Who else did we have in? Who else drove the rally car last year for Subaru?
Patrick Sandell,
of course. Yeah, that's where I was going.
Well, and you got a new one because they just hired on for the rallycross, Scott Speed, but he has publicly said that he's very interested in driving a rally car out on the stage.
Yeah, but I'm sure I picked up somewhere that he wasn't actually down to do any rallying, even though he said he'd like to do it. But I don't know. You know, I'm sure I picked up on that somewhere. But either or, is there a bit more of a fixed team this coming year, do we know? Or, you know, because David obviously is the most consistent there. He is always there. And it's been this rotation of teammates. Has there been any more announcements with regards to, could it be a three-car team? Is it going to be a two-car team? What's going on with those guys?
I wish I knew. Subaru Motorsport's been pretty tight-lipped, which is, their rebranding, by the way, is just awesome. Subaru Motorsports USA and the bringing back the retro livery. We're all super excited to see how that's going to look out on the stages. But yeah, they haven't really formally announced. I can imagine that David Higgins will still be going for the championship overall. As far as the second seat, you know, I think they're still going to probably try that rotation business again. The only one we've kind of heard of was a leaked statement that Travis Pastrana said he's definitely going to do Oregon Trail, but nothing about any other events, and they've been tight-lipped.
Now, you know, it's been a funny old time. I don't know whether you've got your finger on the pulse of what's going on with, obviously, the American Rallycross series over there as well, which, you know, technically now, those guys are probably the only, in inverted commas, factory team that are involved. It's gone a weird way with World Rallycross. Obviously, all the works teams have gone from that now. It's gone back to privateer teams. So in many ways, you know, Vermont and the Subaru USA are probably the only true works team in both, you know, the combined championships.
You know, it's interesting, isn't it? This is, you know, everybody was all talking rallycross. They had the TV slot. They had all this stuff going for them. And to see it evaporate so quickly, it was rather concerning. But at the same time, I think this is probably good for Subaru, who has struggled with their cars to be right at the top. You know, they've been right there, thereabouts, but just not quite making it to the top. And so maybe a good season for them. I know they've invested a ton in the series, and I think it would be very unfortunate for them to just drop out like some of the others have. I think they deserve to get their time in the sun, I guess, in that case, for the investment that they put into it. But they are pretty much it so far, from what I hear, as far as a true manufacturer.
Is there much else happening? You know, I remember maybe 18 months ago or so, they were trying to do something, trying to entice younger drivers and things like that. Has there been any more moves towards in trying to get some juniors involved in rally this year?
Not really. I think what's really happened is because of the sudden expansion and some of the transitions that happened like last year behind the scenes with USAC kind of taking some of the control with the American Rally Association, they've really kind of focused on, okay, let's focus on the events. Let's focus on getting those all working, like the schedule being nice and balanced as it is and all that stuff. Get all those things figured out real well first. Then let's start working on the juniors kind of thing. And try and work on a plan to bring those up. I know that there are definitely some teams that maybe have been looking at some other drivers that are maybe younger to try and bring on board, but there's not been something that's been, you know, through the sanctioning body trying to have a specific plan. That was unfortunate because we were all excited. That was the whole deal with DMAC that was going to help back that. And unfortunately, they just last minute kind of pulled out of a lot of stuff in motorsports, right? You and I were kind of talking about that at the top of the show, and you know, before we got on the air here. And we were kind of one of those that end up kind of having a loss there. But a lot of those guys that were creating these two-wheel drive cars that were going to compete in that are out there competing and, you know, getting better and better. So we're happy to see them, just not really a specific championship just for them.
Now, one man I'd love to see in your championship, and it has happened before, and he was back out. He's been sidelined for quite a while, but he was out working on Rally Monte Carlo, but he went straight home and won his home event in a team swap shop Subaru. It was Anton Lesage. Wouldn't it just be great to get him involved? in that championship, man. Again?
We've seen him compete at an event here and there over the years, you know, Olympus, which is pretty close to the Canadian border and whatnot. He came out and spectated out of New England for us, rally, because that's not too far from home for him. And gosh, let me tell you, I really want to see him out there again. Obviously needs the backing to do it. But if there is anyone, I think, in North America that can challenge David Higgins right there at the front, it's going to be him. Nobody else has, that much experience, recent experience anyways, in North American rallying. And with the right car, I think he can do it. Granted, we have some up-and-comers. I think Barry McKenna, with what he's been able to do, he came in second, I think, in the Irish Forest Rally Championship over there. So he's been getting faster and faster. And he's going to be back doing the season with the S2000 Turbo that he's got, that R5 car that he debuted. He's going to be renting that out. That's a brand new thing. So he brought that car over, and it's his idea is to try and entice some good quality drivers that have the budget to his team will run the car, and you get to run it.
Wow. Wow. I'm assuming because it was Don Buckley Jr. who was running that car, for the turbocharged car. I'm assuming he's still involved with the R5. Very experienced guy, of course. Runs quite a lot over here in Europe. And I'll need to find out a little bit more about that. But I didn't realize an R5 had gone over there. I know, obviously, the guys at Team O'Neill have been looking after Dane Wallenford's, and I don't know what Dave's doing this year, whether he's going back to Rally Mexico. Unfortunately, he had a bit of a nasty off last year on Rally Mexico.
Yeah,
and that
did.
And we didn't really see much of him thereafter, did we?
No, I mean, he had a pretty severe back injury and had a lot. I mean, the guy had to learn to walk again, to be honest.
Wow.
And the amazing thing is how much work he's put into recovering. And he was just a couple weeks ago at Team O'Neill, or not down at Team O'Neill, he was down in Texas, testing that R5. So he's back in a driver's seat. I don't know how much of the season he'll do or if he'll do the whole season. Obviously, he's going to take it slowly with the recovery still in progress, but they have at least allowed him to test. So I'm excited to see the potential of him being back out there. Obviously, I wouldn't expect him to be at the same pace just yet, not until, obviously he's considered fully recovered. But, it's amazing what they can do these days to get these guys healed up and back in the seat. So
absolutely,
great job on him. There's one other one that I want to mention, though, is interesting on the entry list that we have for the 100 Acre Wood coming up March 15th and 16th is a Chevy Sonic. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that car. I think it's called like an Aveo or something like that over there in Europe.
Okay. No, Chevy. Okay, what do you think it's called? Sorry.
The Chevy Sonic. It's I think over there it's called an Aveo over there in Europe.
No.
Maybe not.
Go on. You tell us about it, and I'll do a little bit of research. Go on.
This car, driven by Pat Morrow, their motorsports team. Pat Morrow's been in rallying for a long time. He's been doing kind of stuff more in his region. Hasn't really gone for a championship in a while, but he's got where they put a V8 LS motor in a Chevy Sonic.
Wow.
And he will be competing with that at 100 Acre Wood. So to give you an idea just how open our open four-wheel drive class is, there you go, folks.
I'm just looking at images now. I'm for our European think kind of Fiesta. I think it's probably Fiesta, Vauxhall Corsa, Opel Corsa. Yeah, fair play if you can. With a V8 in it. I don't know where he's going to sit. I'm assuming he's in a trailer behind it. But there you go. That's a serious bit of kit, isn't it? Oh, well. So,
And we were talking about the protos before, and then we've got Ryan Millen, who won a two-wheel drive championship. He's got an AP4 version of the RAV4 that we're expecting to see this year, too. So we got AP4s, we got protos, we got this LS Sonic, we've got obviously the Subaru guys at the top, but R5s, the S2000 Turbo. I mean, we got a plethora of very interesting machinery out here.
You know what? It just goes to show because, we have regulations across the board. What you guys have done over there is basically when there's no regulations, just bring what you want. If you're American, because obviously if you guys, you're very kindly always tell your listeners that you've been on this program as well. We used to have a car over here in Europe, and you may have heard us talk about it many, many times, both Jack Ryan and myself and various other people. Andy Burton's Peugeot Cosworth. Okay. Search for it on YouTube. Just put Andy Burton rallying and search for it. And basically it's a Peugeot 306 with an ice racing body kit with a DTM touring car engine in it, mid-engined. And it sounded like a Formula One car in the forest. And it was,
I have heard this car. Oh man. Yeah. Beautiful.
And unfortunately it's stuff like that was ruled out for us. Ironically, maybe Andy needs to take it over to the States. Unfortunately, it is now just gathering dust in a barn alongside a Wilder creation, which was an Alfa Fiat Ferrari. He actually built the predecessor out of a Ferrari engine in it. And he's just this amazing engineer who's also a farmer who just built it in his shed, which used to, you know, he used to take it to the World Cars quite regularly in it, you know, used to win events overall and stuff like that. But it sounds like you guys have gone a similar route and you know, all the power to you. It'd be great to see, obviously, how that crazy Sonic thing goes with a V8 in it. But there you go. Mike, just before I let you go, if I can just ask one last thing, what are your hopes and aspirations for the season ahead? Obviously, you're the man who's normally covering these events. What are your hopes and aspirations for the season?
You know what, my hopes and aspirations that we see just more people following, more people watching both online and coming out to the stages. This growth that we've seen and interest that we've seen, I mean, like, you know, American Rally Association's got a they're working with Auto Week, which is, you know, kind of a news outlet for motorsports, and other outlets have been starting to take notice now of rallying in the USA that they haven't done in years. And so my hope is that with what we're doing with our Facebook live streams, and we've got the ARA Rally app, so you can kind of follow along what's going on with the events, that we just keep this growth going, the interest growing, and it's going to be, I think, a fabulous year, our best year yet. It's just been a fun ride just watching this continued growth since we started with this thing.
Great stuff, Mike. Great stuff. Listen, we'll check in with you very, very soon. Folks, we do appreciate the download. We are at the end of the program. Of course, you know how to find us now. It's Absolute_Rally on Twitter, facebook.com/Absolute Rally. All the old episodes on absoluterally.co.uk. And again, thanks as ever for the support from the guys at Kielder. We'll be back same time, same place, in your little podcast hole next week.
Absolute Rally, powered by the Kielder Works team. Spread the word and download the podcast every week.